brought to you this morning on 1400 K1 by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Spending a little bit of time on a Community Connection this morning on 1400 K1, and of course, with the June 26th primary election coming up, we are talking, guess what, elections. And I get the opportunity to spend with of course, candidate for Insurance Commissioner Glenn Mulready, and as a legislator, you have spent a little bit of time writing the rules, and now you get to administer them.
We do, yeah. I've over the last 8 years, sort of become the insurance guy at the Capitol, so I've chaired the insurance committee and been heavily involved in any insurance legislation over the last 8 years.
And while the state legislature does have some input, it's the commissioner that really is the man who is in charge of the industry and making sure that the rules are followed by all those agents and underwriters and adjusters and people who are in the insurance business.
Exactly right. So, yeah, the insurance commissioner will administer that and regulate what the legislature passes. And so, you know, I'm anxious and eager to put to work my almost coming up on 35 years of insurance experience, to put that to work into an industry that's been very, very good to me, and focus on that for the state of Oklahoma.
As we look at insurance, of course, so the so-called Obamacare, health insurance has been among the headlines, but when you look at insurance, there's so much more to it as far as your car, your home. Is there bonding to a certain extent is through an insurance policy? Life, health, almost anything you think of can be insured.
Yes, and so I think, you know, back to that, I could go back to that number of almost 35 years. I've had quite a varied experience in the property and casualty world for 12 years as an independent agent and broker, and help folks with that coverage. I've delivered claim checks to a church that just burned to the ground. I've delivered a claim check to a widow, you know, who mm-hmm. just whose husband passed away. So those are very meaningful experiences in understanding the value and importance of insurance. But then the last 22 years, I've been on the health insurance side of things. And, yeah, Obamacare sure changed that world back in 2010. And so, you know, my goal going into the insurance commissioner's role will be to try to attract more choices for Oklahomans. I think that's critically needed in the health insurance world. We are now today down to one option for individual health insurance. And so I intend to get in there and build relationships and create a strong environment of a business-friendly department so that folks will come and do business here in Oklahoma.
And I think that's a key word, business-friendly, because it is the companies that sell that product we know of as insurance that design the policies, although legislation has said it must do this and do this and do this. There's still, I would think, a lot of room for innovation within health insurance markets.
There is, and I just back to that last comment, I think Commissioner Doak has done a good job of establishing a good business-friendly and a responsive department. As I've participated in National Insurance Commissioner meetings, one a year that I've participated in, I've seen that he has developed a good reputation of that. You talk to companies about other departments, and you'll hear stories of just a lack of responsiveness. They file a form, and 1 year later, they still haven't heard on that. That still gets sat upon. So we have absolutely don't do that here in Oklahoma, and I just want to try to improve on that.
When it comes to property and casualty, of course, storm damage has to be among the top topics we talk about, and probably without seeing the numbers, you know, wind damage, tornado claims, top of the list. We're talking, as you and I talked, the week of the anniversary of the Moore tornado, and also the week of the anniversary of the Joplin tornado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, wind and hail are big here in our state. Commissioner Doak has established the Tornado Summit, which will now move forward and we'll call a Disaster Summit to try to expand that a little bit, but it has had great participation. You know, insurance companies have had to respond to some of that by adding percentage deductibles as opposed to a set dollar amount. And we also have talked a lot about, I just did on our Facebook page, we've been shooting these little videos called Mulready Minutes. Mm-hmm. And the one we just recently shot was about storm-resistant or fortified homes and the advantage of certain shingles or others or taping the roofing underneath that and some different things that you can do to improve and make that more storm-resistant. And so we're trying to encourage the industry to incentivize more of that.
And I think the housing industry, through different roofing materials, is adding to it. Policies, companies have in general incentivized roofs that would be longer lasting, whether it's longer lasting shingles, metal roofs, other things that make it advantageous for the consumer to invest in a better product.
Yeah, and there's a place in South Carolina that does testing of that. They've built I can't remember how many million-dollar facility that can simulate storms, up to 140 mile an hour winds, I think it is, and hail, and so they're doing substantial testing there. And when you can see a side-by-side comparison of a fortified home versus a non, it's really quite amazing the difference of what it can withstand. So,
locally in Bartlesville, we have a floodplain, and we had a flood several years ago in 2005, but the big one still is 86. And of course, flood insurance is through a government agency, but still, it's a product that people, if you live close to a flooded area, you need to know about.
Yeah, you do. The National Flood Insurance Plan, the NFIP, has been around for a while, and that's what we utilize to meet those needs. I also see the role of the insurance commissioner's office, a big part of that being educating the consumer. So the average person doesn't know what's in their insurance policy. They might get it and gets put in a file, and I've heard someone once say that it's the most popular non-read book ever, you know, serves as your insurance policy.
Right, so, after the owner's manual for your car.
Yeah. But so I think the role of the insurance commissioner is education as well. So whether that's helping folks understand that, you know, you're not covered with flood unless you buy flood separately, or do you realize if you don't have a rider, you do not have earthquake coverage, and those sort of things. You just cannot say that enough, I think, out to the public.
Commissioner Doak has run several series of seminars, senior fraud resistance. You mentioned some of the others. Is that similar to the type of administration you would like to run?
Yes, I think that's another one of the top three priorities for me is the fraud. I've jokingly said to folks when speaking publicly, it's sort of the high blood pressure of the insurance world. It's the silent killer, is fraud. Every one of us is paying a portion of our premium towards fraud, and so the more we can get a hold of that and stop that, the better off we are. And, yeah, I've attended some of the seminars or meetings that Commissioner Doak has done specifically targeted towards seniors because they are a target for fraud.
Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, and I don't want to stereotype anybody, but more likely to be trusting when someone makes a presentation to them.
Yes, and speaking from experience of just having spent some time with my own mom and lots of time with my mother-in-law, I would agree with that statement. They're just very trusting and can be open to that fraudulent.
The insurance industry in general, I think, runs a good self-education program that keeps agents in their various policy areas well-informed. I believe there's an annual requirement for recurring education and that sort of thing in the industry. Is it where you would like to be? Is it strong enough that gets a competent agent in that final 3 feet with the customer?
Yeah, that's a really great question that I haven't given a lot of thought to. You know, you just being in the business for so long, I realized, you know, there's certain continuing education requirements each year, and we've added to those some over the years. I know we've added mandatory earthquake education. And so, you know, whether that is robust enough, should we add to that? That's something I'd need to dig into that I haven't really given a lot of thought to. But I think it's imperative that we do continue that, and that there is a certain amount of trust that's a professional sitting across from you or who's on the other phone from you. They're a licensed agent, and they have a good understanding of the business, because, you know, you're committing to a contract as a customer, and that will be another. I see that as the number one priority of the insurance department. That is consumer protection, whether that's fraud that we talked about earlier, or, you know, the insurance companies are being feet are being held to the fire from an accountability standpoint. that's a contract. Are they fulfilling what they have committed to do when that time comes? Because when that time comes, it's usually not something good, right? They're responding to a claim or a death or whatever that might be, but they need to respond as they have contracted to do.
When people get a hold of the insurance commissioner's office, typically it's with a question or a problem that was not adequately answered by that person that sold or underwrote or was in with the paying of claims on a policy.
Yes, and in fact, almost on cue, you know, another one of our Mulready Minutes there that I talked about on our Facebook page was about the help that's available at the insurance department. There's an 800 number, or you can do a form online, and I think the statement I made was that sometimes interacting with your agent may not be enough, that you may hit a little bit of a wall, and so there's additional help there through the department for the average consumer to contact and get a little extra weight behind their concerns or problems.
One of the topics of discussion since the whole healthcare Obamacare talks have come up, selling health insurance policies across state lines. And typically, at least the way they have been set up, they grew up with a policy in Kansas may have different requirements than one in Oklahoma, which is might be totally different from the Texas policy. Are there inherent problems, or are there more benefits than problems in selling coverage across state lines as you see it from your experience?
That's a good question. I know that there's been a lot of talk around that. I will up front just tell you I personally don't believe it's a silver bullet that a lot of people think it is, because I think the fact is if you're going to have your gallbladder out here in town, that
was expense, last fall.
Well, that expense is that expense when it's here, that whether that's being paid by a company who's, I don't know, in Baltimore or is in Tulsa, that claim dollar is still there. Now, there's some tweaks and administrative savings that can be had, but it's not the silver bullet that some people think it might be. The thing I'm encouraged by, though, I'll tell you, is the change in our current administration. I've been involved in that health insurance discussion for many, many years and had an opportunity a few months ago to go to the White House and meet with Trump's special assistant on healthcare policy to talk about these things. But their intent is to push things down to the states, which I'm a big fan of, as opposed to the previous administration was more from the top down, a federal approach. And so they want to push choices out to the states and let the states be a little bit more creative within certain bounds. And they're frustrated by some of those bounds, I'll tell you that from that conversation. But they want to push it down to the states and let the states do what might work best for their state. Because the answers here in Oklahoma are not necessarily the answers to, well, like Baltimore we talked about, or Oregon. I mean, those are different answers when it comes to health insurance and health care due to the makeup of their health care systems in those different states.
You mentioned that that policy that's in the drawer or in the glove box of the car or something that where we keep our policy is probably the least read. Would there be a plan to just do some Q&A sessions, whether it's through teleconference or similar town hall meetings like what you might be doing on fraud, just to say, hey, if you have a question, bring your policy in, let's talk about it?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to make a note of that right now. But I honestly had not thought of that, but that is a great idea that may be a future outreach for us to try to do.
Connecting with the people who buy insurance, any other plans just to, like I said, one-on-one, I'm the guy in charge, but you're in charge when it comes to buying your policy, to connect with the consumer?
Well, I don't have a lot of specifics to share, except that I'll just tell you that my life has been, and I think passed from my dad, growing up in a small town, and my dad, it was not a matter of sort of if you were going to serve, it was when and where you were going to serve. And so he served on numerous committees, and I remember as a kid talking with him about some of that, thinking, no, why would you be on that little committee, or what does that do? And so anyways, that was instilled in me early on, and so I've been heavily involved in the nonprofit world, and elected to a school board, and then the state house. And so I see this as an opportunity to focus on something I know very well, 35 years of experience, and it's an industry that has given me and my family a great life, and I can focus on serving Oklahomans in that area. So to that point, I would love to think of more creative ways to engage with folks and answer some of those questions, because I know the things that I take for granted that I know after 35 years, the average person just does not have that experience, and it can be very frustrating for them.
It can be, and I know contracts have been written to be much more common language as opposed to written by lawyers and actuaries, but there's probably still a lot more that can be done.
Yeah. They say those are written more simply. I think sometimes the average person would argue that. But
it's absolutely like the nutrition on the box of cereal. I think it was better before, but anyway.
Yeah.
Getting a hold of you in campaign, I know you'll be in town for a June 19th primary here, but any other public areas, public forums where we can get to know the candidate, Glenn, and learn more about you? I know you got a great website, and you're on Facebook.
Yes, we do. We have a website. It's Glenn Mulready, Glenn with one N, glennmulready.com. We have a Facebook page. As I mentioned, we've been doing those Mulready Minutes, but you could find out about that on our website, and we could certainly connect via email. We've got some updates going out via email from the campaign. We've been out on the road, I might mention, since July, so we've been at it a while. We got out early, and we got some nice early endorsements from Congressman Bridenstine and from Governor Frank Keating, and Commissioner Doak has endorsed my campaign as well, the House Insurance Committee Chairman, the Senate Insurance Committee Chairman. We've had some really nice endorsements and got some good momentum. But you did mention the 19th, but we've got the Republican Women's event coming up here in Bartlesville. The forum, but otherwise connect via email and you can get those additional updates on where we'll be. And we've been getting around the state a lot. I've put a lot of miles in my car.
No doubt whatsoever. Again, we're talking with candidate for Oklahoma Insurance Commissioner Glenn Mulready, and best of luck, sir, and we'll talk with you again real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much. Again, Glenn Mulready, he is candidate for Oklahoma Insurance Commissioner. He will be one of the persons on that panel. The Green Country Republican Women will be hosting their forum coming up on June 19th. If you have a question, get it to me between now and then, and time permitting, I'll try to get your question as one of the items that I'll ask the candidate. That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not